The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 12 degrees and cloudy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Huda Kirkati, and here are today's headlines. How will the U.S. elections affect us here? Could a Quebec plan be a prescription for disaster? And is Montreal not party central anymore? There's no hiding that today is election day in the U.S. The race is one of the closest in history, with neither candidate leading by a single percentage point. It will all come down to seven key states to decide the outcome. Gabriela Mayer brings us the story.
Today is a monumental day with an extremely close election in the U.S. between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald J. Trump. The win will come down to results from seven key swing states, including Michigan. I spoke with Audrey Gerard, who canvasses on behalf of Democrats with a nonprofit organization, Michigan United. She says that housing, healthcare, and the economy are the main concerns that they are hearing people talk about. She works in the predominantly conservative community of Keweenaw in northern Michigan and says many people have already made their choice.
There are people who are excited to cast their vote for Kamala Harris. The majority of folks have made up their mind, either both very loudly and vocally, that they are going to vote for Trump, or in a more quiet way. They've either said something like, you know, I'm not proud that I'm casting my vote for Trump, but I don't think we're ready to have a woman president, is an exact quote I've heard from somebody when I'm knocking on the doors.
I spoke to political analyst Ethan Cox, who thinks that Harris has done enough to win the election.
I think Kamala Harris is going to win the U.S. election that's happening today. I think Trump just didn't have what it took to make it to the finish line.
Harris held a final rally last night in Pennsylvania, while Trump finished in Michigan. Gabriela Meyer for CJCN News, Montreal.
Trump's aggressive tariff plans pose massive risks to our economy. But Canada's longstanding trade ties with the U.S. means that we are vulnerable no matter who wins the White House. Harris is hardly a free trader. The Biden-Harris administration has raised tariffs as well. Zachary Chung spoke with international economic relations expert Mark Brawley. He says that Canada would have to brace for impact after a Trump victory.
When Trump was president and they imposed those tariffs, that was against the regulations that the U.S. Congress had passed. Trump kind of just, you know, he demonstrated the first time around that the rules that are written down don't always constrain what he would do.
Are there any factors that would constrain Trump from imposing hard tariffs on Canada?
When Trump did that, he was breaking American law. But the thing is, the law only matters if Congress then says to the president, hey, you're breaking the rules. That's why it matters so much whether there'll be a Democratic majority in Congress or a Republican majority.
But the Biden-Harris administration has kept many of Trump's past tariffs in place, right?
Right. They've kept tariffs strategically in place. And I would expect that to be the new kind of norm from the United States, because there's a lot more concern about like national security issues post-pandemic and post-Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Do you see Canada retaliating in any way if the U.S. takes a more protectionist approach?
Doubtful. Because if you can do it to try to retaliate, but if you're the smaller country that needs the big country more than they need you, retaliation doesn't make a lot of sense.
And what effect would an economically closed off U.S. mean for the Canadian economy?
The way it would affect Canadians is it would affect the ability for Canadian manufacturers to sell goods in the United States. It would make their goods look more expensive. It would be bad for jobs in Canada.
That was Zachary Chung speaking with international economic relations expert Mark Brawley. Montreal police are asking for help locating a 14-year-old missing girl. She was last seen at her home in Anticartierville 2 weeks ago. Aurélie Turcotte is described as white and francophone. She is 5 feet 11 inches tall, with brown eyes, chestnut hair, and a nose piercing. Anyone with information is encouraged to call 911 or contact their local police station. Two pedestrians died last night in car accidents. One incident occurred in Châteauguay and the other on Park Avenue, killing an 11-year-old boy. These accidents happened during Pedestrian Month, which ended last week, illustrating the deteriorating situation of pedestrians. Félix Ledoux has the details.
More victims from road traffic were made last night. One of them was an 11-year-old boy who was crossing a street near Park Avenue who got hit by a heavy vehicle, according to the Montreal police.
When the trucker or the man that was driving the truck made that right turn, came in collision with that pedestrian that was crossing Bernard Street.
Michael Yandicello from Quebec Traffic said in a press conference about pedestrian safety that this kind of accident involving trucks is unfortunately more and more frequent as they have bigger dead ankles than cars.
Part of the time they can't see the pedestrians and cyclists.
The number of accidents involving pedestrians are bound to increase as it is getting darker and darker at this time of the year. For this reason, Jason Savard from the Association of Pedestrians and Cyclists, NDG, advocates for safer infrastructures for walkers.
Putting more crosswalks and flashing lights because the current crosswalks are not enough to stop vehicles.
There also needs to be changes in the attitude of drivers who seem to have a more and more dangerous behavior on the road, according to Savard. This is Félix Ledoux, CJCN, in Montreal.
If you're biking to the South Shore, a major road has just closed down. The bike path on Jacques Cartier Bridge is being temporarily shut down due to incomplete waterproofing. There have been several reports of cyclist injuries on the path and struggles with the path's slipperiness. As of now, the path is closed until further notice with no anticipated end date for the work. However, the sidewalk remains open to residents. Quebec's Health Minister, Christian Dubé, announced a bill that will affect medical students in Quebec. The bill states that students who come to study to become a doctor in Quebec will be forced to work in the public sector after graduating. The announcement has received mixed opinions from the opposition parties in the government and people in the medical field. Matt Bishina joins us in the studio after speaking with a medical clinic coordinator. So Matt, what are people's concerns with this plan?
So yeah, Huda, the announcement has received some mixed feedback. The health minister is citing the fact that there are not enough doctors in the public sector, but rather in the private sector. He's also saying that Quebec taxpayers are spending too much money to see doctors leave the province after graduating from medical school. Dr. Michael Kalin, a local medical coordinator in the Cavendish region of Montreal, says that the decision by the government could work if done properly, given the situation the province is in.
I think that there's a social contract, and that if the society is going to fund and train young doctors, then doctors have a responsibility to give back.
Did this decision even have to happen in the first place?
Well, this decision is following an ongoing trend in Quebec that doctors are resorting to going into more in the private sector, but this may have been avoidable from the start. A reason for this original issue is that there are limited job opportunities for doctors straight out of university. Dr. Kalin expanded on this.
The question the government is neglecting to say here is, why are the doctors choosing private all of a sudden? It's because of the prems. So the government has pushed them to the private sector. It's the government's approach. And had they not done this, we wouldn't be having this discussion of forcing doctors to go into the public system.
So can this new bill end up hurting the public sector in the end?
Well, since this is an evolving story, it will depend on how the government officially decides to go about the situation. The opposition leader of the Parti Québécois, Joel Arsenault, says that the CAQ government is still unsure about what they are doing. Dr. Kalin also believes that the government has a very important decision to make because this is a very important decision that will be a costly one if things go wrong.
The government has to play this carefully, because they're investing a lot in the education, and the alternative would be for these doctors to leave the province altogether. So that would be disastrous.
The feelings on the situation are mixed, and the coming days will kind of tell how the bill comes about. Huda?
Thank you, Matt. Following strikes from workers at the Port of Montreal, nurses, and the SAQ, it seems like it's the turn for engineers. The Union of Professional Engineers within the Quebec government are striking as of next Thursday. 88% of union members are calling for an unlimited general strike. Some of the issues they are protesting against are the government's outsourcing of large-scale projects to private companies, work-from-home policies, and low salaries. The last series of negotiations between the union and the government took 3 years and 82 sessions. The Association of Engineers is an independent union and currently represents 2,000 engineers working within the Quebec government. Montreal's nightlife is taking a hit in its residential neighborhoods. Just a couple of days ago, the club Nouvel Établissement closed down its doors and retired its dancing cage. This news comes after the closing of La Tulipe and other venues in the area over the past few years. Lina Mansouri is joining us live from the La Remise bar in the Plateau Mont-Royal. Lina, is Montreal at risk of joining Ottawa in the ranks of Canada's most boring cities?
Well, Huda, according to numbers released by the company Square last September, Ottawa is not only a rival of Montreal in terms of nighttime spending, it surpasses it. Now, Montreal comes only seventh after Winnipeg, Vancouver, and Ottawa, with 26% of its transactions occurring between 7 p.m. and 4 a.m., so at bars, cafes, and restaurants.
How come there is this decrease in spending?
Well, this follows an overall trend of lower spending by Canadians with, you know, rising food costs and basic necessities, especially after the pandemic. I spoke with Denise Boulris, the advisor to Mayor Valérie Plante, who also raises a possible explanation with changing of drinking habits with Montrealers.
Especially with the way we now look at, you know, drunk driving and driving behind the wheel and so on. I think people are a little more responsible.
What does this mean for people in Montreal? Do they feel their city's nightlife has diminished?
That's a great question. I mean, in residential areas, the overall feeling is that it has not much changed. Some people that I spoke to told me that despite the closing of bars in residential areas, they're not really worried about places like La Remise closing.
No, I think Montreal's nightlife is still very active in various neighborhoods.
I mean, obviously, the closing of Cabaret La Tulipe, I mean, it seems to have rung an alarm for
how are city officials reacting to this news? Will there be measures like Ottawa's Nightlife Council put in place?
Supervise nighttime activities in Montreal. For instance, they will allow certain venues to apply for permits to prolongate their hours. There's also a budget for soundproofing other performance halls. And Jimmy Zubris is overall confident in measures.
Well, but look, one thing for sure, Montreal has always been known for its nightlife. It always will be known for its nightlife. And it's the sense of joie vivre. So I'm not too worried about it. And I think it's just an adjustment that we're just going to go through.
And here at the Bar Taverne La Remise, it already looks like a couple of customers are about to join as the folks working there are getting ready for the next batch of people to come in.
Thank you, Lina.
Thank you.
In basketball, the Raptors take it down to the wire, and Oilers take it on the chin. And the Kansas City Chiefs meet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Monday Night Football. Hannah Beach has the details.
Touchdown! Kansas City remains unbeaten.
That is the sound of Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt getting a touchdown in overtime against the Buccaneers last night. The Chiefs won in a tight game that saw the game all tied up in the fourth. The Chiefs are first in the West Division with a perfect 8-0 win record.
Another good play, a lead feed for Meyer. He'll settle it, and he'll score! What a goal!
In hockey, the Edmonton Oilers got trounced by the New Jersey Devils last night, losing 3-0. That leaves them at .500 on the season. And for all those loyal Habs fans listening, your team is back in action tonight at the Bell Center. They are facing the Calgary Flames for the first time this season, and hopefully will be able to get out of their second losing streak slump.
In and out!
And over in basketball, the Raptors had a narrow loss against the Denver Nuggets. Currently, they are at 2 wins and 6 losses for the season. And lastly, over to tennis. Novak Djokovic announced that he's pulling out of the season-ending ATP Finals event happening in Turin, Italy next week due to an injury. Sad news for this 24 Grand Slam champion and for his fans, but good news for opponents like Australian Alex de Minaur and others who will now be guaranteed a spot in the event. And that's it for sports.
Thanks, Hannah. In other news, an adorable one-eyed rooster is in need of a home. Freddie was rescued late last night after he was discovered wandering around a cemetery cowering behind a tombstone. The SPCA are currently looking for a home for the red-feathered bird. Listeners who are interested in adopting Freddie can head over to the SPCA website to fill out an application to add more crows of joys in their homes. Good news, Montrealers. Your winter coat can take a two-day break. We'll be experiencing a high of 18 degrees today and a warm 20 degrees tomorrow with scattered rain showers throughout these next 2 days. However, as of Thursday, expect temperatures to drop again as we enter the weekend with a sunny high of 11 degrees and no rain. That's your news till 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Huda Kirkcuddy.